So I believe this is the three amigos, right, Chris? Chevy Chase, Steve Martin, and the other short guy. Martin Short, okay. Well, I said it right there. So I get that. I like it. I enjoy it. But I'm not quite sure that's necessarily what Moses saw in his burning bush experience. So let me read Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 9 to you. Moses was taking care of the flock for his father-in-law, Jethro, a Midian priest. He led his flock out to the edge of the desert, and he came to God's mountain called Horeb. The Lord's messenger appeared to him in a flame of fire in the middle of a bush. Moses saw that the bush was in flames, but it didn't burn up. Then Moses said to himself, "Let me check out this amazing sight and find out why the bush isn't burning up." When the Lord saw that he was coming, God called him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." Moses said, "I'm here." Then the Lord said, "Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, because you are standing on holy ground." He continued, "I am the God of your father, Abraham's God, Isaac's God, and Jacob's God." Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I've clearly seen my people oppressed in Egypt. I've heard their cry of injustice because of their slave masters. I know about their pain. I've come down to rescue them from the Egyptians in order to take them out of that land and bring them to a good and broad land, a land that's full of milk and honey, a place where the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, God forgive me if I mispronounced any of them. Now the Israelites' cries of injustice have reached me. I've seen just how much the Egyptians have oppressed them." Amen. The word of God for the people of God. All right. So let's take a quick historical step back before we reach the burning bush. Moses, if you remember, is by birth, he is a Jew. But at one point, because of different prophecies that were given, all the babies in Jerusalem, in the Hebrew world that was inside of Egypt, they were all to be killed. So his mother put him into a basket and put him in the reeds in the Nile. And there he was rescued by an Egyptian princess. He grew up in the court of the Pharaoh. So do you think he had much contact with the Jewish people as far as their faith and that sort of thing? Maybe not. But at one point, he sees that a Jewish man is being oppressed by an Egyptian, and he kills the Egyptian. Well, the Pharaoh finds out. So at this point, Moses is about 40 years old. Moses realizes the Pharaoh knows that he killed the Egyptian. So he flees out to the wilderness, out to the desert. He spends the next 40 years there. So at this point in time, now his father-in-law is a priest for another set of ethnicity, a different religion. So he doesn't have a lot of contact with God. But let's go back to the verses here for a minute. He led his flock out to the edge of the desert, and he came to God's mountain called Horeb. This is also another name for Horeb was Sinai. So they're interchangeable. But here's where things start to get a little bit interesting. Moses goes to the flames, to the burning bush, because he's interested in it. And when God sees it, he says, "Oh, he's interested in what's going on with the bush." And he calls out to Moses. And he says, "Moses, Moses." Moses answers back. It's kind of like the story that I gave you for the last couple weeks about the talking donkey. When I gave you that story of Balaam and the donkey and Barak, who was the Moab king. Here, if you remember right, Balaam is talking to a donkey. He's talking to a donkey. He's having a conversation with an animal. and the animal's talking back to him. Well, it's kind of the same thing here with the burning bush. He's talking to a burning bush. Don't you find that a little interesting? I mean, do we talk to trees, to rocks, to other drivers? We do all sorts of things. But not every day do you see a burning bush. But if you notice, there's a messenger. It's an angel who's at the burning bush. The angel goes after that. The angel's no longer part of this story. But now the story is the exchange, the dialogue between God in the burning bush and Moses. Now, if you notice, in I think it's in verse 3, it says, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. To look at God was to mean death for us as creatures, because he's very, very holy. And that's what he is establishing, is Moses hid his face because God was physically present. Even though God is a spirit, he made himself physically present at that moment. But Moses was too afraid to look at him, so he hid his eyes. And then the Lord started talking to him. He says, I've clearly seen my people oppressed in Egypt. I've heard their cry of injustice because of their slave masters. I know about their pain. So God is making known three things. He's seen his people. He's heard their cry. And he knows about their pain. He remembers who they are. So Moses now, it's being established to him in two ways as far as the interaction with God. There's a visible element and there's the speech of God. The visible element is the burning bush and then the presence of God that Moses sees. The second one is the speech of God. So everybody grab a Bible. It's there in front of you, please. And let's go to Exodus 3, verses 4 through 6. Exodus 3, 4 through 6. Okay, so verse 4 of Exodus 3, verse 4, that's the holy summons. That's where God is calling out to Moses, and Moses is responding. Now, I would say that Moses at this point is probably pretty scared. He's a little nervous, anxiety, all those things. Fight or flight is taking place in him right now. But God calls him, Moses, Moses. Moses says, here I am. So that's that holy summons that God gives to Moses. The second thing that happens, if you look at verse 5, it says, from my version, my NASV version, it says, do not come near here, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. So now he's establishing his holiness. He is establishing that for Moses that he needs to have that respectful distance. Now I ask you, think about this for a minute. I ask you, when you are praying or you're taking the time to read your scripture, do you ever have that little sense that God is asking you to take off your shoes? Have you ever had that happen? I've had that happen to me several times. There's been times where I've come in here to pray. It's just me. I come in here to pray, and God will go, Dave, this is holy ground. Take off your shoes. So I take my shoes off, and I'm running around in my socks. I'm okay with that because that's part of me learning to hear God's voice and to obey and to acknowledge that God is holy. So I do that. The third thing that happens, so we've got sovereign summons in verse 4. Verse 5 is the establishment of holiness. Let's go to verse 6. It says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. So here's God is establishing who he is, his identity with with Moses. And Moses is going to be eventually carrying that message back to the Israelites. It's at this moment that Moses is transported into God's holiness. He's heard God's voice. He's taken off his sandals or whatever he's wearing. And now he knows that who God is. I am the God, the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So I submit to you, think about that for a minute. How is it for you, again, when you're in prayer or you're reading the Bible, or you walk into not just this church, but any other church, do you ever feel that holiness like, how many times have you told your kids, be on your best behavior because we're in church? We all have it one time or another. Or we've been the kids receiving that from our parents, be on your best behavior, we're in church. You know, there's that holiness going on there. But at this point, after these three things take place in verses 4, 5, and 6, this is where Moses comes into the holiness of God. Now, let's bring this to the cross. Could this have been the time when Moses is going into a salvation experience? That's a food for thought. I don't know. But it seems to me that if he's now moving into this period of holiness before the Lord, it's probably the beginning of his own salvation experience, if it not being the whole thing. So, burning bush. Moses has a burning bush experience with God. But there's a couple other things that we've talked about in the past. Jacob wrestling with God. That was his burning bush experience. Or Hagar, when she's out in the wilderness after Abraham and Sarah kicked her out, sent her off to the wilderness. She has water. She has food that Abraham had given her. She uses up all the food. She has used up all the water for her and her son. She lays her son down, and she walks off a distance from the baby so that she cannot hear the baby's cries as he dies because of lack of water, because they're in the desert. But her moment with God is when an angel comes. That's her burning bush experience. The angel comes and says, God has heard you. He's heard your cries for your son. And the angel gave her water. She got food. And it says later on in that part of Genesis that the lad grew. It says the lad, never says his name. It says the lad grew and God was with him. What an amazing statement. The lad who did not know God, but yet God was with him. That was her burning bush experience. So what's the point, Dave? Well, here's the point. What is your own burning bush experience? Or have you already had one? What's your burning bush experience? What's been that overarching experience that you've had with God where you know you're in the presence of the Lord? You know you need to take off your shoes, flip-flops, sandals, whatever. Have you ever had that opportunity or that moment? You're in prayer and all of a sudden you feel like you're in the holiness, in the presence of the holiness of God. So let's close our eyes for a minute. Close your eyes. Lord, we ask for that burning bush experience for each and every one of us. We ask, Father, that you glorify yourself with us. Even though we could be full of sin and all sorts of anger and all sorts of the yuck of the world, yet you're there with us, Lord. But I pray for each and every person in this congregation, Lord, that they'll have their own mighty burning bush experience. Let them hear your voice, and when you call their name, let them say, here I am. And when you say, remove the sandals, remove the shoes, that they'll do that they'll hear your voice and do that. And Lord, we are so grateful for the work on the cross that we do not have to be afraid to see your presence, to see you, to see Jesus, to see the Holy Spirit. Because, Lord, we are heirs of the kingdom. We are part of you, Father. But, Lord, there are times we need those renewals. So, God, I pray for each and every person in this body right now. Let them have their own burning bush experience. Let them know, see, feel, taste, and touch the presence of the Lord and all the good things that you have for each and every one of us. And all of God's people said, amen. So I had something just very profound I was going to tell you, and I don't remember what it was I was going to tell you, so it's not very profound. So let's move.